Good morning and welcome to church today. Great to have you join us here on the live stream, or maybe if you've come back later to watch the video. We look forward to the time when we can meet in person, but meanwhile, I want to start today by giving thanks to God. I've got a psalm here from Psalm 136, and let's do it as a responsive psalm. So when I say the verse, I'd love you to reply. You can say it along with me. His love endures forever. It's a well-known psalm. So as we read it together, I'm going to read the part. I'd appreciate your response with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who, by his understanding, made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. He made the sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen. Some ideas today, some what's happening, our community time. So to share with you just a few things, House of Prayer remains on today. In the book of Acts, we read about how the first believers came together. They joined regularly in prayer, in fellowship, and eating together. So this afternoon, you're welcome to join us here as we pray. And if you have prayer requests, please get in touch and we can be praying for those things. On Tuesday night last week, we had over 50 meals given out to people in our community. That continues. If you wanted to come down Tuesday night and get a meal, or if you know of someone who needs to have a meal and wants to come and catch up, please invite them. We did open up our tables and chairs for dining for limited numbers. So if you are here and you want to stay and chat with someone briefly over dinner, we'd love to have you here. And it will be followed by Just Men. So this week, men, you're welcome to come and join in that fellowship together in Bible study at Just Men. The kids, we'll be very excited to be starting back today after we finish our church service this morning online. Kids will be joining right here at church for their kids zone and junior soldiers preparation. So that'll be exciting. And if you know someone that has children that would like them to come along to our kids' activities, please get in touch with Jess. She'd love to chat with you. And finally, some information that you've been waiting for about church, getting back to join us at church. The infographic that you'll see, the slide, gives this following information. We can have up to 100 people in our chapel. We'll have to make sure that we look at social distancing, that we keep separate, that we won't be hugging and kissing each other and shaking hands, but we will still be joining. If you are unwell, we'd ask that you don't come out and you stay at home to keep you safe and to keep everyone safe. We've been requested to ask that people don't arrive too early and gather beforehand, or stay around and gather after. So if you can arrive from 9:45, ready for a 10 o'clock service, and when we finish, we'd ask that you leave pretty much after a quick farewell and get going straight away. The kids will be staying in church with us, so we'll have a kids segment, but we'll involve the kids. They won't have a separate kids time next week, on the 12th of July, on that week. And we do have a COVID-19 plan in place. If you have any further questions about that, how that looks or how that will work, then we're happy to have that discussion with you. But we'll send out a newsletter shortly that outlines all that information. So bless you. Have a great day. I'm going to hand over to Jess and Brittany for kids time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to kids time this week. So we don't have any birthdays this week, but Kira does have another wobbly tooth. So Kira, keep wobbling that tooth and keep us updated. Awesome. And guess what is exciting about today?
What?
We are starting back our Kids Zone and our Junior Soldiers here today at 11 o'clock until 12. So make sure you come on down if you're in our Kids Zone or Junior Soldiers, or if you want to be part of that, come on down and we're going to be talking about You Are God's Masterpiece. So that will be really exciting and we can't wait to see you. So come down and yeah,
see you then.
So good. All right.
Bye. See you later, guys. Bye.
I choose to bow, though there's pain in the offering I lay down. Here in the conflict, when doubts surround, though my soul is unraveling, I choose you now. I will praise you through the fire, storm and through the flood. There is nothing that could ever steal my soul. In the valley, you are worthy, you are good when life is not. You will always and forever be my soul. I build my altar right here and now. This is the darkest night, it won't burn out. For you are perfect, no matter what. In the joy of the suffering, I sing it loud. I will praise you through the fire, through the storm, and through the flood. There is nothing you now.
Today we've come to the end of our 21 days of prayer, the Pray It Forward that we've been talking about for a few weeks. During this time we've been waiting upon God and seeking His guidance for what He wants for us as the Salvation Army as we head back into our normal lives or back into activity. We ask that during this time we've asked you to pray, to seek God, and we want to thank God for hearing our prayers. So if you join with me now, continue to pray. Don't stop praying because the 21 days are finished today. But continue, please, to pray for the future direction. If you join me as we pray. I thank you, Father God, because you are a faithful God. Forever, you are faithful. We thank you because during this time, you have heard our prayers. You always hear our prayers. And Lord, we thank you because you answer our prayers. During this time, as we seek after you, after your heart, after your desire and your will for us, God, we pray that you would help us to be great listeners. Help us to know where it is that you want us to go, what you want us to be doing, and Lord, to really seek after your heart rather than our desires. Lord, we trust in you and we thank you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
A faith proved of more worth than gold.
So refine me, Lord, through the flame.
I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is there. Is my prayer in the battle
when
triumph is still on its way? I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is there. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is near. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
This reading is from James. This letter is from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls. Its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Today we are looking at the book of James, James 1 to 12, and it's got a lot to say to us about Christians in our current setting, in our current space here, because just like the church, the New Testament church, wasn't able to meet in the way that they were used to, we are also still dispersed, we're still in our homes, and we're still waiting for that opportunity when we can meet back together. And so James writes to those people who are no longer together in one place, and he says, I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Greetings to you this morning. You see, those new believers, those Jewish believers, they had been, many of them would have been part of the new church only a few years before. They had heard the news about Jesus in Jerusalem, and the church had multiplied and the church had grown, and they'd experienced the love and fellowship that they had with each other, that we have with each other. But then persecution had come upon them in Acts chapter 8. And we hear about how the church had to move out, had to spread out, and so these new believers were dispersed, they were scattered. And so James is writing them a letter, encouraging them and saying, hey, yes, you're experiencing some trials and some tests right now. You can't meet as you used to be able to, but there's some good stuff in this. There's some purpose in this. And so he starts, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Wow, that first sentence must have really challenged him, I think. It really challenges me. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. How do you react when troubles come your way? I know what I do. I either get anxious or I get maybe a little bit cynical, or I get a bit frustrated, or maybe I get a bit angry. It really depends on the situation, but my first reaction is definitely not great joy. So as we look at that today, how troubles, how testing can be our opportunity for great joy, I pray that God will speak to you, that God will speak to our church, that God will speak to the church in general through this book in James for our people at this time in this place. Continues to preach, to teach, to encourage these dispersed crowds. And he's talking about the testing that they're undergoing. And he says in verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Now that word that he uses here for testing, in the Greek, it's dokimion. And only James and Peter use that word. And it's a particular word that is also used by the silversmiths of the day to test, to prove the worth, to prove the genuineness of the product. So what they would do is they would get their silver and they would heat it, probably not like this on a stove, but in a large smelting effort, and they'd apply the heat, and then the impurities would rise to the surface and they would scoop the impurities off the dross, they would take it off. And then they would do it again. They would test it, they would apply the heat. And again, the things that were
not worthy of the silver, but rise to the top. And they do that again and again and again until finally they knew that it was complete, because they were able to look over into the silver, and they could see their own reflection. And when they could see their own reflection, they knew that the silver was genuine, it was pure. The test had been proved true. It's a little bit like that with us as individuals and as a church. When we face the tests and trials that come our way, whether they come directly from God or they're used by God, our circumstances, what they do is they shape us and they give us a chance for our endurance to grow. And James says, let it grow. Let the garbage in your life, the impurities, be burnt off, rise to the surface and be scooped off. And let the process continue over and over again in your life until eventually you will reflect the face of Christ. When he looks down on us, he sees himself. He sees his reflection in us. And that's what we really want to be. We want to be reflectors of Jesus, because we are lights of the world. We are little lights reflecting his big lights. We are Christians. We are little Christ reflecting the fact that he is the Christ. So when we go out in the world, that's who we want to be. So let the testing, let the trials have their way. Build endurance and let it grow so that we can reflect Jesus in our lives. James continues in verse 4, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Someone explained it to me like this. When you're making a cake, you need different ingredients, different raw ingredients. There's egg, there's milk, butter, flour, sugar, maybe some baking powder. Now, these are all great when they're all combined in the right way, but if I took a big mouthful of flour right now, it would be quite unpleasant. Or a big chunk of butter and just chow down on that. It might not be too bad for a fingerful of sugar. But there's good things in our life and there's bad things in our life. There's testings and there's trials. But what God does, who's the master baker, he combines them all together in the right proportions, and he can use everything in our life. As it says in Romans chapter 8, all things will work out for the good of those who love God and are called in. Called according to his purpose. All things. So things are taken, things are measured, things are mixed together. And then at the end, we are made perfect and complete. We are presented a presentable offering for God exactly the way that he wants us to do. God wants to use every part of our life, the good parts and the bad parts. And because he wants us to be that perfect and complete person. James says, if you need wisdom, if you need God's insight, God's understanding, to try and figure out what's going on with these trials and temptations that you're suffering, with this testing that's come your way in your life, he says, ask your generous God. We serve a good God who loves us and wants the best for us. He is generous, and it says, he will give it to you. He will give you the wisdom that you ask. And it says that he will not rebuke you. God won't give you a hard time. God wants us to try and understand what's going on in our life. Try and make sense of it. Making sense of the things that don't seem to make any sense. Ask him, he says, and he'll give you that. He'll give you that sense of what is going on. But he says, when you ask, and this is really important, be sure that your faith is in God alone in verse 6. Because we can put our faith in so many things. We can put our faith in our circumstances, in our money, in our career, in our position. But none of those things are going to give the stability that we need. We need to put our faith in God alone. He says, when you do, don't waver. Don't be a wishy-washy, double-minded person. Don't be like a wave on the sea, tossed about by the wind, this way and that, unsettled as a wave of the sea, blown and tossed. Now, he might have been thinking about the Sea of Galilee.
the Sea of Galilee was a very unsettled, turbulent sea. One minute calm, the next minute the waves rising up out of the ocean, tossed this way and that in the breeze. He said, don't be like that. Have faith in God alone. You know, when I get the chance, I love to come down to the beach. It's one of my favourite places, one of Karen's favourite places. And if the weather's right and everything else is okay, I like to do a bit of body surfing. I don't have the body for it, but I love that feeling when you get into the wave and you become one with the wave. But unfortunately for me, more often than not, it's not a marvelous experience that it is occasionally. I lose my footing, I lose my direction, I'm upside down. The next thing I know, I'm crashed on the shore. I'm thrown and tossed aside because I don't have any stability. I don't have any direction. That's what it's like for people who put their faith in other things other than God. They will lose their direction. They don't have any stability. And James says such people, they should not expect to receive anything from God. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. Where's your trust? What's your faith in at this time? And they are unstable in everything you do. So whether you think about it, it's like a wave tossed by the wind, or whether have a picture of me or you in the surf getting knocked over. If we put our faith in God, if we put our trust in God, and we call out to Him in our times of trials and testing, He will hear us. He will answer us because God loves us. Jesus came to suffer for us. He continues to suffer with us. When we put our faith in Him, when we put our trust in Him, He will always carry us through. Should we put our trust in? Well, certainly not riches. James has already made the point that we can't have a divided loyalty. We can't love God and we can't love the world. We have to choose between one or the other. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 9 and verse 10 that the poor have something to boast about because God has honored them. But the rich, well, they've got something to boast about because God has humbled them. It's hard to get your head around the fact that the riches that we have, even though they may be blessings from God, we can't put our trust in them. We can't build our foundation on them. And James says that the riches that we have, if we trust in them, they won't help us at all because they will fade away like a little flower in the field. They look beautiful. They look stable. They look wonderful. Like something you can build your life on. But we know, and even in recent days with the share market falling and unemployment rising, there's no foundation in that. Those things that we think we can trust in, they will fade away. They will wither and fall. We need to keep our faith in God. The hot sun rises, the grass withers, the little flowers droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. Let's keep our trust and our firm foundation in God. So James comes to a conclusion in his introduction, in his letter to the dispersed believers, the dispersed Christians throughout the area where they had been scattered. And he says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. As Karen talked about last week, there's blessings to be had when we endure. There's blessings to be had when we trust that God will see us through the trials and temptations. And not just in this life, not just in the completeness and the perfection that James talks about where we will arrive at, but also in eternity. He goes on to say, afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Love is the key. God loves us. God wants the best for us. And when we love Him in return, when we love Him, when we love Jesus for dying for us, when we love Jesus for saving us, when we love Jesus for making a way for us, making a way through for us in our trials, in our testing, we will receive the crown of life that God has promised to His own people. So in this time of trial and testing, for you personally in your life, and for us as a church, and the church in general, as we struggle to find ways to connect, and we look forward to times when we're going to meet together, let us consider this time now as a time of where we can build up our endurance and our perseverance. It is a time not of lamenting and of complaining about the fact that we aren't able to meet together, but as James says, consider it pure joy. Because when we do meet together, which we will, when we gather together, we will be stronger. We will be more fully developed. We will be able to share our experiences that we've had with each other. And as individuals and as a church, we will move towards the complete, perfect individuals and groups that He wants us to be. In the meantime, we are being refined in the refiner's fire. We are being made pure. We are being made holy. We are being made set apart so that we can be used for Him in the world. Let God have His way with you. Let God do His work in you. And when He does, you will experience the blessings in this life and the blessings in the one to come. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We love that You want us to know about You. Lord, we don't love trials, we don't love temptations, but we do rejoice in the fact that they make us the people who You want us to be. Lord, I pray You'll give us the strength, You'll give us the courage to be able to endure, to be able to persevere, so that we can become the people that You want us to be. As Your word says, perfect and complete and needing nothing. I pray that in Jesus' name.
I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Our benediction this morning comes from Romans chapter 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.